In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You're already seated. This is good. All right. I go away for a week, you sit quicker. This is good. It's good to be back with you all. And I don't say that simply because we have air conditioning and they don't have that in the churches in South Dakota. It honestly is just really good to be back home with all of you in this community of faith as we celebrate God's presence in this place, God's presence in our lives, God working in the midst of our everyday life. And today, as we gather and we celebrate the presence of God, we hear one of Jesus's better known parables, the parable of the Good Samaritan. My hunch is many of us have heard this parable before. We know something about this parable. Not only is it etched in our minds that a good Samaritan takes care of the man who was beat up, but we even kind of just know exactly how the story's going to go, right? We know that a priest is going to come along and he's going to ignore the man who's suffering and in pain. We know that the Levite, somebody who's meant to take care of God's temple and God's worship, is going to come along and see the man on the side of the road and just leave him there in the dust, even as he bleeds and he suffers and he can't do anything. We know that then a Samaritan will come along. We don't know what a Samaritan is, but we know he will come along and he will see the man and he will care for him and he will help heal him and he will give his time and his resources, and Jesus will tell us to be like that Samaritan. We know the story, and yet we probably forget what it really means for our daily living. I mean, here's the thing. In my daily commute to and from the church, I have yet to see anybody on the side of Mapleshade who's beat up in a puddle of their own blood. Doesn't happen. I don't see that happening. And my hunch is, in your day-to-day life, you rarely see somebody who is in that kind of miserable, painful, hurting situation crying out for help on the side of the road, right? And if we do, what do we do? Call 911, right? And get the first responders to come and help that person and heal that person and get them to a hospital where they can be taken care of. So, I mean, we know this story, but what's it mean for everyday life? What's it mean when it's so rare that we see somebody in the kind of condition that that man was in? Because I have a hunch when Jesus says to that lawyer this morning, go and do likewise, he isn't just talking about a situation like he told. He's talking about all of us, followers of the way of love, followers of Jesus, being people who bless others and care for others and see the need of others and respond. That is what Jesus' invitation is for you and for me. But you know, sometimes it can be hard to see need. Like I said, it usually doesn't present itself like it does in this story, does it? Usually we don't see somebody physically in pain on the ground next to us. 9 times out of 10, my hunch is the kind of pain and the kind of need that we see in our everyday life is sort of hidden. It's sort of veiled. It's somebody who's depressed or afraid or alone. Somebody who's not sure how they're going to make ends meet. It's somebody who doesn't know where their next meal is going to come from or how they're going to pay the rent. 9 times out of 10, when we look at people that we pass in daily life, we don't even see that Jesus is calling us to care for them, to bless them, to offer that kind of care and goodness which the Samaritan offered this morning. So how do we pay attention to that? Well, one easy answer is you go on a mission trip, right? I mean, 12 people just did that. I thought I'd get more laughter on that. Oh, well. One of the gifts of going on a trip is that you end up going to a place where the need might be a little more obvious. Or at the very least, the people that you're working with know how to connect you with need, right? They take you over to the women's shelter which needs some love and care, and it needs work done. They take you to a lot that needs to be cleared so that housing could be put in to take care of young women who have children and need prenatal and postnatal care. They take you over to the house of a woman who's in her 80s, her body crippled by terrible arthritis, and who had her front deck destroyed in a recent storm. They take you to places where you can see the need and you can respond to need. That's one of the gifts of a mission trip. And I happen to know that of the 12 people who just returned, we all went with the hopes that we could help, that we could bless. But frankly, even when you're on a mission trip, 9 times out of 10, you don't see a person in need standing before you asking for help. Instead, you're given hard work, like cutting up cottonwood, which happens to look an awful lot like the state of Illinois. Rich, do you see that? It really does. That's Chicago right there. I'll give it to you after the service, all right? Cottonwood is miserable stuff. Cottonwood is stringy. It's heavy. It's filled with water. And I promise you, when it's wet, it will not burn. It'll just smolder away. But the thing is, when the winter comes in South Dakota, and boy does it come, I mean, we complain about it being cold here, right? But last winter, their lowest temperature was negative 43. So, I mean, winter really comes out there. When it comes for us, what do? Keep the doors closed. Maybe turn the heat up a little bit, right? I know it costs money, but maybe we turn the heat up just a bit. Maybe you put something to stop the drafts on the door, right? Maybe if it's a really cold night, you turn on the water a little so the pipes don't freeze, right? And you hunker down, and you know it's going to pass. But when you're a grandma taking care of 10 young children, and you turn the heat up and you remember that your propane's gone because you can't afford to buy any more, what do? Well, you take the clothing and you start burning it in your stove, because that's all you've got. And then you call the local mission and you ask them to bring over 100 pieces of this terrible, awful, no good, very bad wood. And it keeps you alive in the midst of the cold. And it gives you hope. And it reminds us that this wood, which was cut in July and won't be used till January, this wood tells us what it might be to be a good Samaritan, what it might be for us to offer hope and blessing to others. Sometimes hope and blessing is preparing for the hardships we know are going to come. Sometimes being a good Samaritan isn't walking side by side with a person in need, but making sure the resources are there so that when the need does come, they're able to survive to the next day. Sometimes it means just giving a little bit of your time so that everyone might have hope. And you know what? You don't need to go to South Dakota to do that. You don't need to do that at all. Actually, all you need to do is walk out into the Great Hall. Because for the past number of months now, we've been talking about the way of love, the way of Jesus. We've been talking about ways that we can make Jesus's presence known in this place. And so today, we are talking about blessing people. And there's no question that's what that Good Samaritan did, right? He blessed the man on the side of the road. So what would it be for you today to take a moment and ask yourself how you might want to bless somebody in this community, in East Longmeadow or beyond? And look at the board that Gail and Sheila put together, filled with little slips of paper that give you opportunities to simply bless. Maybe bring some food in for the open pantry so that when that family hits rock bottom and they don't know where to turn, there is food ready for them so they can eat. Maybe it's just to offer your time to sit with somebody who's lonely, stuck in their home, unable to leave, and just be with them, be in conversation with them. There are countless opportunities sitting right out there waiting for you to go and be a blessing, to go and put Jesus's teaching into action, to love your neighbor as yourself. Friends, if we take this way of Jesus seriously, we need to remember that we're not just waiting to see that terrible situation on the side of the road, but we are looking for every moment of every day to find ways to bring hope, grace, and love into people's lives. So please, prayerfully listen to Christ today. Consider being a blessing to others so that the light of God might shine in the midst of the darkness of this world, so that we might have hope, goodness, and grace. Amen.